Welcome to Career Tours. This week, how to answer interview questions using one example. The questions this cast answers are, how do I use one example to answer multiple interview questions? How do I show different traits and characteristics in interview questions? And how do I prepare for multiple interview questions? So Sarah, this cast is all about interviews, and we know from people's experience that they may have some 3, 4, 5 really good examples of things that they did or things that they're really proud of in their previous job that they're going to pull from to answer interview questions. And in this guidance, we're going to show how you can use one example to answer multiple questions. So you can look at that one example from different angles, and depending on the question you've been asked, you can use that example multiple ways. In the interview series, which you can find on the website, if you go to products and then interview series, we talk about the general store exercise, which is a way of looking at your experience and looking at things that you're particularly proud of doing, say a project, and pulling out the skills and characteristics and traits and abilities that you demonstrated in that example, and you pull them out and stack them by skill or whatever, and that helps you answer these questions, because the questions are an interview question asks you about a particular skill or a particular trait, and you have 3 or 4 examples of that skill, and you've already pulled them out, and you have that in your head ready for the interview question. So we're not going to go over that now and exactly how to do the general store exercise in the interview series, but what we're going to talk about is having one example and just being able to answer different interview questions from it. We're going to give you a couple of examples about how to do that so that you don't need so many examples when you go to an interview. If you think there's going to be 10 questions, which is kind of average, you don't need 10 different examples of great things that you did. You maybe only need 5, and you can look at each one of them in a couple of ways. So you're ready for many more interview questions than perhaps you might think you would be. We're going to start with analyze your work experience, and we're going to talk about 2 examples, and then we're just going to talk about how often you can do this per example, per interview.
Right. So we talk about do analyze your work experience. So the analysis of your work experience generally comes after the creation of your resume. Your resume and your career management document will help you work through and remember all of the achievements that you've had from your most current role to your very earliest role. And any achievement is made up of multiple skills, and it demonstrates different attributes about you.
Yeah. There's a cast for the career management document as well. This is one of those casts that's got lots of links to other casts. So we'll make sure the links are on the webpage.
The mistake that lots of people make when they begin to prepare for their interview is they study the company instead of studying themselves. Now, of course, you need to know about the company, but you're not going to be answering questions about the company. You're going to be answering questions about yourself. That's what you're there for. You're there to sell you. So you need to know a lot of stuff about you. Therefore, examining your background is the most important task to prepare for that interview.
Exactly. So we just talked about the general store exercise and how that helps you break down your roles into different skills and attributes. But let's give you an example so that you can see that. Let's say that you managed a project. So it doesn't matter what size the project was or how many people there were or what kind of project it was. It can be anything from, I don't know, organizing the storeroom to implementing a $1 billion multinational system. It doesn't matter. There are a bunch of skills that you use no matter what the project is, so that anybody who has managed a product would end up with the same list of skills. So for example, keeping track of multiple tasks at once. Everybody does that when they're managing a project. No matter how small the project is, you always have to be, you know, managing the different tasks that are happening at the same time. Working with stakeholders, even if the stakeholder is just your boss and they said, hey, go tidy up that storeroom, you've still got to manage that person's expectations, work with them to give them updates, tell them where you are in the project, how you're going to approach it, making sure that they're with you, making sure that the result is what they want it to be. That's the same whether it's a small project or a big project. You have to manage time. You have to manage workload. You have to work to the quality standards that the stakeholders have set. Whether it's a small project or a big project, there's always a quality standard for the project. And you need to be able to communicate about that with the people that are involved, whether that's one person or 1,000 people. You need to be able to manage workflows. Workflows being, you know, the order in which you do things. If you imagine, you know, you're tidying up the stock room, the first thing you might do is make a space, you know, move everything to one side so you've got a space to work in, because otherwise you're trying to work and you've got disorganized things around you. If you are developing some multi-million pound system, then the workflow might be, you know, how are we going to do change management? That needs a whole workflow of its own. So even though the skills are wildly different in scope, they're similar in the kind of things that you need to do and the things that you need to think about when you're doing them. You could use one project, whether you know, it is tidying the stockroom or whether it's something huge, to answer questions about those skills, because those skills are always needed in that project or in a project. And there's lots of examples of things that we do at work that can fulfill that same kind of niche, in that they are things that lots of us do at different levels. So communicating with customers is something that we all do at different levels. And it doesn't matter whether you're doing, you know, you've got an internal customer who's just a peer on your team, or a customer who's, you know, a multi-billion dollar company and you're talking to the CEO and that's your customer. The skill in some senses is exactly the same, you know, of being able to explain what you're doing, of being able to relate to that person, of being able to understand what's important to them, all those kind of things are the same thing. So that's why when we look at the examples that we're going to use in an interview, we break it down by skills and abilities and traits and characteristics, because those are the things that the questions in an interview are asking about. They're not really asking about the particulars of the project. They're saying, have you used these skills? And that's the way to answer them. So we'll start with an example.
All right. So let's say, for example, you're the manager of an IT, a technical team, who's got a massive workload increase. No more people, of course. Same amount of direct, but the workload itself has doubled due to a new project that came on with a new client of yours. Now, there's going to be a lot of complex skills that you're going to need in order to deal with that kind of situation. You're going to need strategic skills, like getting your arms around just the magnitude of the work, the timelines, and the complexity involved in all of this new work. Then there's going to be the tactical skills, like exactly what kind of workflow you need in order to be able to deal with this new work. There'll also be the people skills, so deciding how to allocate the work and working with the stakeholders, as well as negotiation skills to help your team understand and do the work itself. The list goes on and on.
So let's imagine that you've done the work with the interview series, or you've done the work and you've pulled out all of the skills that this exercise, this piece of work demonstrates, and you're in an interview later on and you're asked, can you tell me about a time when you've had to develop a new workflow? And then you can answer using this example.
Of course. My team was given an additional project that came from a new client. It meant that we had a week's notice that our workload would double for 6 months, and we knew immediately that our existing work processes wouldn't be sufficient. I approached the solution in three ways. First, I got the team together and we brainstormed what changes we could make immediately to onboard that work and get it into our workflow. Second, we took our documented processes that was on our whiteboard and looked for potential bottlenecks. We allocated each bottleneck to a team member and gave them authority to break it in the most effective way possible. And third, we assigned two people to shepherd the first parts of the new workflow through our process, looking for improvements as they went. We delivered all the additional work on time and budget, and were able to use the new work processes to make our normal workload even more efficient.
Excellent answer. I will employ you straight away. It's very clear. So that's that project, and you had to create a new workflow, and you're able, because you've pulled out the skill of creating new workflows, you're able to answer that interview question with that in mind. Now, perhaps you're asked a different question. You're not asked about workflows in this interview. You're asked something about stakeholders. And you can use the same example, the same project, but then bring out some different skills and answer the question using the same example. So let's say, can you tell me about a time when you had to work with stakeholders?
My team was given an additional project that came from a new client. It meant that we had a week's notice and that our workload would double for 6 months. We knew immediately that our existing work processes wouldn't be sufficient. There were multiple stakeholders involved, and I knew that they would all need to be kept in the loop while we worked out how to deal with the project. I had three tactics that I employed. First, I met with the stakeholders individually to find out what was most critical to them. Was it the quality, timeliness, or budget? And this gave me an idea of where to put my most valuable resources. Second, I briefed my team on the needs of all the stakeholders so that they knew where the hotspots were if they spoke to the stakeholders. And third, I started a twice daily email to all the stakeholders, giving them updates on where the workload was, and the issues we were encountering, and how those were being resolved. So in the end, we received a commendation on how well we communicated with all of those involved.
I'm going to employ you. So that you'll notice that the structure of the answer is the same. There's a precis of the situation and then the two or three things that the candidate did to get through the situation. But the emphasis is really different. In one, we talk about the workload and the team. And in the second, we talk about communication with the stakeholders. So depending on what question we're asked in the interview, we can use the same example. We just look at different things out from it to answer the question. But you've got to have really thought about the examples and really thought about what skills and traits and characteristics that are in there in order to be able to do this. So this is how you create answers for different interview questions from one example. And it means that you don't have to have an endless number of examples that you've rehearsed until you know them verbatim. Like 5 to 10 will be enough as long as you can use each one in multiple ways. If you have 10 answers and you can use each one of them in two ways, that's a total of 20 answers, which is about how many you'll need for a full day interview. And of course, you can't guarantee that they're going to ask you questions about the ones that you've rehearsed, the answers that you've rehearsed. But usually, you know, if you're doing a project management job, you know what the questions are going to be because they're all the same, right? How did you run a project? How do you manage a budget? How do you manage people? How do you manage stakeholders? You know, those things that are the same for whether it's a small project or a big project, those things that we talked about that are the same, those are the things you're going to be asked about in an interview, nearly always. Want to try another example?
Sure, let's do it. So let's say we work in a sales environment and you've been pitching the company with the biggest client yet. The contract should have been yours, but it went to your nearest competitor. So how are you going to answer a question about that?
So let's see. Tell me about a time when you've had a failure.
Sure, I would love to. I've been working on a contract for a large civil engineering project. It would have been the biggest project our company has ever dealt with. Looking back, we passed through the early stages very easily. We have a bank of paperwork that we use for sales pitches, and we were able to call that in order to fulfill the early requirements. My mistake was not to work on my relationship with the purchaser right then. I treated this part of the sales as a checklist moment, and once I'd sent over the paperwork, I didn't do anything to follow up. Although I worked really hard on the relationship later in the process, there was no coming back from that early miss. Obviously, I've learned from that, and I now make sure that I'm developing a relationship with everyone involved from the very earliest stages.
I'm so used to marking people's interview answers. I feel like I should be writing notes. So you could use that example, the same example, for the workflow development question, because if you've missed something developing a relationship with a client and that means you've lost a sale, then hopefully you're going to change your workflow so that next time you don't miss that part of the workflow that you don't miss communicating with the client when it would have been helpful. You could also use it for, tell me about a time when you have difficulty developing a rapport with someone. There's a multitude of questions that this example would answer, and each time you would just tweak it slightly differently. So one of the things for salespeople that's really important is developing resiliency, so the ability to bounce back after they've heard a no. And salespeople, I don't know, they seem to be able to do this naturally, and I wish I could. They hear no and they're just like, on to the next one. Even when skills come naturally to you, it's important to think about them and think about how you are manifesting them so that you can improve them. So we could adapt this answer, use this example again for a question about being resilient. So can you tell me about a time when you've had to be resilient?
I'd love to. I'd been working on getting a contract for a large civil engineering project. It would have been the largest project our company had ever dealt with. Unfortunately, I treated the initial part of the process as a checklist process rather than fully engaging with the client at that point. I missed what she wanted and needed. I could have let that derail me for months, but I know that we all make mistakes and it's getting back on track that's what counts. I reviewed all my other accounts to make sure I wasn't missing on them. I moved connecting with the customers to the beginning of my process, even though much of that part of the process is being done electronically. Since then, I've brought in every sale that I've been assigned to.
Excellent. So hopefully you can see how that one example can be used for multiple interview questions. And we say in the interview series, rehearse your answers. And this is what we mean by rehearse your answers. You look at an example that you have and you say, okay, what skills do I demonstrate? And then you ask yourself the question and you say the answer out loud to yourself. And this is how you come across in an interview as having all of these examples, you know, at your fingertips. It's not that you have them at your fingertips, it's that you've rehearsed them. And that's the important part. And there's lots of other things in the interview series that are important, but rehearsing your answers is one of them. So the other thing I was going to say is these answers are really long and the questions. So if you buy a license, a personal license from us, then you get the show notes and you would be able to read them. This may be a little bit easier than listening to Sarah and I read them out loud.
That's true.
Yeah, especially next time. The last part of this guidance is a caveat, which is only use each example twice per interview.
As useful as it is to be able to use one example in multiple ways, we don't want you to use only that one example throughout the entire interview. We don't want the hiring manager to think that you're a one-trick pony, right? You only ever did one really successful thing. Even if that one example, it is possible to use it for every answer, we don't recommend that you do use it for every answer.
So if you've used an example in an interview, use it only once more and only if you don't have a better one. So say you're in the interview, you're asked 10 questions. And the first one is about how you manage a project and you use the beta project that you did in 2016. And you get through to question number 6, and question number 6 is about workflows, and workflows was a really big part of that project. Then you can use that example again. But don't use it again for questions 7 through 10. And only use it if you don't have an example, another example where workflows is even more important or came out well. Sometimes if you use your, if you've been working hard and you've had a successful career and you've really worked on these questions, you can use your second best example and it would still be better than anybody else's first example. So we just want you to caveat though, even though you may have learned 5 different answers from one example, which is perfectly possible to be able to do, you don't want to use all of them and that one example in an interview because it does look like, oh, you only ever did one thing.
Yeah, using the same one every time just leads the interviewer to believe you might have a limited experience. So you definitely need more than one, but you don't need 20, and that makes your preparation easier.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about the interview series because it tells you how to evaluate your experience and pull from it the examples that you can use to answer interview questions. And it has in it things like the most important question, tell me about yourself, your biggest achievement, those kind of, what's the leadership question, or weakness question. Those things are in the interview series. And we want to encourage you to purchase it if you're ready for an interview. I just read someone's email this morning who said that they'd bought the interview series, done everything in it, and now and they went to an interview for a certain job and were offered the job a level above it because they were so good in the interview, which I thought was awesome.
That's amazing.
So we've talked about that a lot just because it has the basis for using this technique. You have to have done that work before you can use this technique. But once you have that, you can use this technique and you don't have to rehearse as many answers before your interview. And that, you know, cuts down the rehearsal time. It means you can concentrate on all of the other things that you need to do before an interview, and you can be more confident in the interview. So hopefully that was helpful. It's a technique that many people don't know how to do. So hopefully that will help everyone out there that's listening be better in their interviews and get the jobs that they want. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy.
I hope that was helpful. We'll see you next week.